We have the kingdom of God living inside of us. We can take the kingdom wherever we go. So no matter where you are today, you work here, you work here, you go there, you go there. You're in this class with this kid, or my son or daughter's on this team or whatever. Every bit of that is divinely set up by God. You know what it's set up for? To take the kingdom of God to those places.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Tommy. Thanks for joining us today at the church at Bushland. Man, we pray that your faith will be encouraged and inspired from today's message.
So, hey, good to see each of you this morning. Thanks for being here. So I've been in a series, if you've been with us, I've been in a series started right after Labor Day, September 8th, and called Ready, Set, Go. Kind of on the backdrop of the Olympics, on the running events especially. And so what I wanted to do, a lot of times we have a lot of new people that find us during the late spring and summer. And I felt like I needed to unpack the four core values or purpose statements of who we are as a church. Why we do what we do, what we want to accomplish, what we try to do as a church, that kind of stuff. And so I took the Ready, Set, Go and kind of stuck them with that. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, kind of the backdrop of that. All right, it says that, so we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us, you and me, throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run the race marked out for us. Amen. Each of us, you and I, right? We have a race, okay, marked out for us, okay? Every person joining us online, they have a race that's marked out for them, that God created for them before the beginning of time. Before he made them, he made our race. He wanted us to do and accomplish certain things. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prepared in advance for us to do, right? There's things that you and I are called to do. And so with that scripture, we took the backdrop of the Olympics and the Ready, Set, Go. And the ready is them in the blocks. That's the first core value of who we are. Ready. That is know God. K-N-O-W. Know God. That is when you realize that God not only made you, but he sent Jesus, his son, to die on a cross to take our place to save you. And if you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ raised you from the dead, you shall be saved. And so we want people, everybody, to know God. That is to come into a relationship with God. That's what he wants, okay? He wants a relationship with you and me, okay? And the second is set. That's when they rise up in those blocks and they take that one last look up before that gun goes off. They're in that set position. And that set position for us are a second core value, and that is find freedom, okay? You've got to throw off everything that hinders you to run that race, amen? You got to find freedom. Hey, your pastor and all of us, everybody online, we got stuff, okay? We got stuff, all right? Past. We got words, people, things, all kind of stuff in our past that need to be taken off and we need set free from, okay? So we can run the race marked out for us. That's the set. That's our second core value. Last week, we looked at go, okay? Go is simply that, all right? Discover your gift, all right? There's a gift that each of us have after we're saved. The Holy Spirit comes inside of us. You're born again. In that being born again, you have a spiritual gift, okay? Let me help you with this. I talked about it last week. A spiritual gift is not introvert, extrovert, okay? Everybody agree with that? That is not your spiritual gift, okay? That's your personality, okay? But it's not your spiritual gift. And there are spiritual gifts listed in Scripture, okay, for you to know what your spiritual gift is, your main motivational spiritual gift. And that spiritual gift is given to you, all right, the little church, to enhance the big church, to build up the big church, Scripture says, okay? It's not to exalt you and me, it's to build up the church. October 13th, not next Sunday, but the one after, at 9 a.m., we will offer a class, 6-week class, taught by Melissa P., my wife, on spiritual gifting. If you do not know your spiritual gift, I hope and pray you take the class. 6 weeks at 9 a.m., you will know your spiritual gift. It's very important to know your spiritual gift, I'm telling you. All right, because if you can operate in your spiritual gift, you can build up the church and serve the church. If you don't know your spiritual gift, you may float around here like a feather in West Texas if you can stay pretty close to one spot, but you may get blown all over the place. But what I'm saying is you won't really know how to help the body. You won't know what to do. And so that's what a spiritual gift is your gifting that God gave you through the Holy Spirit of God and how it can build up the church and help you grow as an individual, but also help you expand the kingdom of God. And that's very important. That's our third core value is discover your purpose, okay? Today, we're going to take the go a little bit further. The spiritual gifting is to build up the body of Christ in the house, more or less, okay? Your spiritual gift can be used outside, but it's mainly used in the body of Christ, okay? But today, the go is to make a difference. Folks, the church is called to make a difference. Just called to make a difference, man. We are the church. Understand that, okay? This makes up the body of Christ, okay? This is a good place right here. This is a sweet church, a strong church, a very healthy church, okay? And this is fun. Coming to church, hey, brother, what's up? Hey, sister, what's up? Hey, how you doing? You see that game? Man, you see Alabama come back on? Yeah, do you see that? It's like a catch that ball, go 75 yards. Oh, I saw that, all right? Yeah, that's fun. All right, you can talk about all the birds you shoot and fish you catch and all that stuff. That's good stuff, all right? But this right here, this is kind of easy. You know what I mean? That out there, that'll separate the men from the boys, amen? That's different out there. That's called the world. We come in here, we drink living water, we worship, we pray, we draw close to God, we get energized, we get pumped, we get filled, we get His word, and then we're launched out into that. And you're like, I wanna go back to church. Some people wanna come right back, all right? What I'm saying is that's where God wants us. We are called to make a difference, no matter what you do, all right? You may have a profession that you make money at, that's good, all right? But that ultimately is not gonna satisfy you. You have to have something bigger than you, okay? And that is your call as a disciple to go make disciples, to grow the church, to be the church. That's what it's all about, okay? So let me ask a series of questions to you. Do you believe in the sovereignty of God? You believe in the sovereignty of God. Let me say it like this. Do you believe God is in control? God is in control. Many people don't really can put their head around the sovereignty of God. What I'm saying is the sovereignty of God is knowing that God is ultimately holding this whole thing together and that He is ultimately in control of everything. God is in control regardless. God is sitting on the throne. God's not falling off. He doesn't have bad days. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't go to sleep, okay? He works while we sleep. All right, He is time. He doesn't need time. He needs time, He'll make time. You and I can't make more time. He is everything. He says there's a sovereignty of God that God can do what God wants to do and He has His people where He needs His people to be, okay? How many of you love exactly where you are right now? Just love it, all right? I love where I am, all right? I wouldn't want to do anything else. A lot of us love where we're at and some of us like, ugh, I don't really like where I'm at. I feel like I'm just doing my time, right? Some people love where they're at. Some people don't love where they're at. Some people love the people they work with, don't love the people they work with, okay? But regardless, you're right where God wants you to be, okay? God either opens doors, shuts doors, or makes things happen to position His people for the advancement of the kingdom. Sometimes we find ourselves in places based on our stubbornness and our choices, and we just kind of land somewhere, okay? Now, that doesn't limit God. It might have not been God that got you there, or you consulted God in getting there, but you got there. But now that you landed there and you looked up, you're like, oh God, I'm gonna need God, all right? That may be where you are. But regardless, God is sovereign. God is in control. The question becomes, not is God sovereign, not is God is in control, but the real question for us becomes, do you trust God? That's the real question. Do you trust God? Because no matter where you find yourself, the question on the table is, God is on the throne, and God knows where you're at, and do you trust Him? Do you trust Him? You have to trust God. I want you to look at Isaiah 55, We'll begin there. Isaiah 55, look at verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. This is if you want to talk about the sovereignty of God, or trusting God, or God in control, look at Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Right there, you have to understand the sovereignty of God. I am where I'm at. I am positioned where I'm at. Maybe not, that might have not been my way, but God's ways are higher than my ways. And because I am located where I'm at, I find the position that I'm at, I'm working where I'm at. This is the community. This is the town. This is the city. This is the place. This is may not be my first choice. It might not be my way, but God has a way bigger than my way, and I will trust God in his ways. That's what it boils down to. I've told people before, some of my greatest things in my life, the greatest things in my life were a no in some of my prayers. God's, I prayed. Maybe prayer is a light subject word on this. Maybe it wasn't just prayer. Maybe it was trying to convince God of something, okay? You ever prayed and then you pray, but you're really not praying. You're really convincing God that what you want is best and he should line up with that. So this was me. I was a senior. I was a ball player, baseball. I was pretty well convinced that I was playing baseball at Baylor University. I was going to be a Bear. All right. I was just waiting on God to get on board. That's all I needed. So as we moved through the season and we got in the playoffs, these coaches would come from these other universities to watch me play ball. I wasn't really interested in them unless they were green and gold. And so these people would come and I, thank you, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming. Yes, thank you for coming. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming. This happened for weeks, month, okay? All these different teams, all these different coaches. I didn't pay any attention to any of them because I was absolutely 110% for sure I was going to Baylor University. We end up losing in a quarterfinal game at the University of Texas. I pitched that, got beat 2-1. You think, Jeff, there's a class for that? It's called freedom. You can get over it, okay? Still not over it, obviously, all right? Shortstop drove in both runs. You can tell how bad I'm not over it, okay? But so this is me. So this happens. We get beat, and I go back home, and I had told everybody no because I was determined. I knew I was going to Baylor. My mom walks down the hall one morning and she says, Jeff, Baylor signed that other kid. I said, Baylor did what? Baylor signed that other kid. I said, wow. And she said, like all great moms, what are you gonna do now? I said, I don't know what I'm gonna do now. I told a whole bunch of people no. And so that was it. So a couple of minutes go by, maybe an hour, and the phone rings. And my mom answers the phone, and I can tell she's talking to someone that she's not real familiar with, but then she says this, yes, Jeff is here, I'll get him. Now this is back in a day where there was a phone that was connected to the wall in your house, had a cord coming from it. We had pet dinosaurs. And they mainly stay outside. Not like today, they all come inside today. But so I had to go to the phone. So I go to the phone and I pick up the phone and the gentleman says, Jeff, this is Coach Jim Knight from East Texas Baptist University. You remember me? Lying, big time lie. Yes, sir. I remember him. I kind of did, he was 6'8". That helped me. My mom's over there going, he's real tall. And that helped me a little bit. Moms bail you out sometimes. And so that helped me connect with 6'8", real tall. Yes, yes, sir. I know. Yes, yes, sir. And he says, I understand that Baylor signed the other kid. Yes, sir. Well, you may be interested in what I have on my desk. I said, sir, what do you have on your desk? He said, I have a scholarship for you to come play ball with me. When I met you 2 weeks ago, I went back to my office later that day and I filled out the paperwork and I put the date on it and the date's in the corner the day I went to see you play ball. I knew you were gonna come play ball with me. And if you would like to come play ball with me, I will take this piece of paper and join you and your parents for dinner tomorrow night at your house and you can sign this. Okay, do you remember in life when God becomes your God, not your parents' God? You remember that moment in your life where you're like, wow, he's real. There's a sovereignty of God. God really is interested in me. He has a plan for my life. And at that moment, the sovereignty of God, the fact that God is crazy in love with me and has a plan, all of a sudden, God became my God. My God. Worthy of praise and worship. Because I was just a cocky, arrogant ball player. Told everybody, no, I'm good. Because I already had God's will for my life. I already had a plan. And it didn't go that way. And when he came, we signed, and I'm gonna tell you, that university and that particular coach changed the course of my life forever, man. Ever. Psalm 37:4 says this. This is a New King James Version. Psalm 37:4, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. The NIV of that same text, Psalm 37:4 says this, the Lord makes firm the steps. The New Living Translation of the same scripture says the Lord directs the steps. Proverbs 3:5-6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge him. And what will he do? He will direct your path. The sovereignty of God is a beautiful thing. And God is sovereign and God is in control. And look at me, church, you can trust him. Because God has you right where he wants you, okay? He does, right? We are all running a race that is marked out for us. There's a race that is marked out for me, okay? We are all called to run the race, but not just run the race, but make a difference. When your feet hit the floor in the morning, you're on an assignment, not by you, not by the person that signs your check, not by the company in the top left-hand corner. No, you're on an assignment by Jesus Christ, by God in his sovereignty. You're on an assignment to run the race marked out for you. You're on a mission field. You're about to go into a mission field. And we don't look at it like that. We look like we're going to work. Where are you headed? Going to work. No, I'm going really to my mission field. What I'm really going in, I'm going out in my mission field. I want you to turn your Bible to a really cool passage of scripture. Philemon. Boy, everybody's like, what? Is that in the Bible? Philemon. Let me help you with Philemon. It's in the New Testament. Some of y'all are like, right now you're in the table of contents sweating like, oh my gosh, my neighbor's looking at me, all right? Been there, okay? Philemon, it's in the New Testament. Get this, it's got one chapter. It is a good one, all right? It is right before Hebrews. Some of you are just breathing a real sigh of relief right now because you know where Hebrews is. So things are looking up for you, okay? Go to Hebrews, work back to the left. You're gonna find a little book, one chapter, one page probably, unless you have that real large print Bible. Okay, I'm almost there, all right? But unless you have that big print, it's one page. Philemon is one chapter written by Paul. I wanna show you a cool, cool verse. It's power packed, and I bet you've never seen it. Some of you are like, I've never even heard of Philemon, all right? I've been waiting on somebody to name their kid Philemon. It ain't gonna happen yet, all right? Please don't do that, okay? Junior high is rough enough as it is, okay? Name your kid Philemon. All right, Philemon chapter 1, just have to say it because I normally say that. Chapter 1, verse 6. Chapter 1, verse 6. And I'm going to read this out of the New King James Version. Doesn't really matter what translations you got, but this is out of the New King James. Philemon 1, 6. Listen to this. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Some of y'all are like, that's got a lot in it. That's got a lot in it. Let me read it again to you. That the sharing of your faith, making a difference, right, may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Not every good thing about you. We're not near as good as we think we are. Not all that, but what's in you that's in Christ Jesus. Let me say it like this. When you get born again and you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, okay, as your deposit, guaranteeing your inheritance one day in Christ Jesus. All right? He comes inside of you. The Holy Spirit does. Holy Spirit is Jesus. Jesus. He's in you, okay? You're in Christ. You're a new creation. That means everything about him is available to you because he's in you, okay? Yeah, see, that's just beyond us. But that's what scripture says happens. Old is gone. Whoop. New has come. I'm a new creation, okay? I died to Jeff. I became new Jeff, but I'm not new. I'm same, but Jesus is new in Jeff and he's different. See how that works? So everything about him is in me. So the word effective or effectual, it's where we get our Greek word for energy, okay? In this verse, okay, it simply carries this, the idea that something that has suddenly become energized and activated. Woo. That the Jesus that lives in me has been energized and activated. That's gonna move me to make a difference on my mission field. Paul's words could actually render this, that the communication of my faith may become energized and activated. Think about this. Is the communication of your faith been energized or activated? Some of you are like, dude, I'm just glad I'm saved. I am too. But that's not all you were saved for. You're not saved just to sit around. You're saved to go make disciples. To go do for someone else what has been done for you. Now, you can't save a person, but you can take them living water. Amen. You can take the bread of life. And you know what? You won't be satisfied until you start doing it. You won't. You say, oh, if I could make enough money, I'd be satisfied. No, because you could make enough money and still not be satisfied. But when you are used by God and you share your faith with someone, and the lights come on in them that God loves them and died for them, and they pray a prayer right in front of you to receive Christ, and they stand up a new creation, I'm gonna tell you something right now. You will never be the same. It'll light your fire if your wood's been sitting in a pond. It'll light the log. You're like, how did that log light? It's soaked with water. That's Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It can overcome all that stuff, all right? So look at it this way. Many of us, obviously, have automobiles. You wouldn't have got here without one, all right? Car or truck. I have a truck, black truck, GMC, okay? All right? That's the vehicle that I drive. That vehicle has a capability of it, okay? It has potential, okay? If I take a key, the key I have, now, there are some vehicles that you put a key in and turn. There are some vehicles today, new ones, that you push a button and it does it. But it has a key. And if I turn the key or push the button, all of a sudden the spark plugs that are inside that engine, they fire. When those spark plugs fire, that engine fires. Amen? And all of a sudden, because of that firing, that engine is activated. That engine is unleashed. It had the potential from the get-go. And let's just say that that vehicle was full of gas. And that vehicle had all the horsepower it ever needed to go do all that it was designed to do. It can't do it unless the owner of the vehicle has the key and pushes the button to activate the engine, to call on the gas, to request the horsepower to go live out the potential that was in the vehicle. Guess what I'm looking at? A bunch of nice, sweet GMC black trucks. If you're not like trucks, give you a car. You can be a Mustang or a Corvette if you want to, right? But I'm looking at automobiles with lots of potential. But for many of us, we haven't called on that potential to do what's capable in us. We have the power and potential to do it all. So now let's look at the supply, Philemon 1:6 to us, okay? Look what Paul writes. Every good thing has been placed in you by Christ Jesus. Every good thing has been placed in you by Christ Jesus. Some of you don't realize how much you have grown, how much you have put effort and time and energy in the growing as a believer. You're born again. You're saved. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You have come to worship. You come to worship. You go to freedom. You get in small groups. You have quiet times. You get in worship. You do all the stuff. And you don't realize that you have grown as much as you've grown. And I see you every week. And I watch you from 30,000 feet. And some of you in this room right here, y'all don't even talk the same as you used to talk. 5 years ago, when I heard you talk, you limited God. When I hear you talk today, there is no limit to God. Did you do that? Kinda. He did it, but he did it in you through the power of Jesus lives inside of you. You have the potential, the capability, the horsepower in you. And many of you have a full tank. But you're not asking for it to be revealed. Not asking for it to come out. Think of it like this. He made you. He saved you. He healed you. He redeemed you. He protected you. He guides you. He has imparted gifts and talents to you. He has a plan, a future for your life that is simply gorgeous. You are loaded with phenomenal potential that is just waiting to be activated. That's all of us. He's waiting on us. My friend, you are like a car or a truck that was loaded with enough fuel and horsepower to get you anywhere you needed to go. But the potential in you to be released, you hold the key. We hold that key. We got enough word in us. You say, well, Jeff, if I go to work and all these people gather around me and if I share my faith or have this one buddy or this one girl, if I share my faith, I don't even know what to say. I'll mess it up. No. You've been putting it in you. You've been putting it in you. Now you just gotta open your mouth. And he'll do it through you. I don't even know what to do. What if I'm supposed to pray for them? I don't even want to pray. Good. He says, I will pray. I will turn your groanings into prayer. All you got to do is open your mouth. He'll do it. Some of us, oh man, I just want my workplace to change or my home to change or this to change or that to change and this and that. You know when it's going to change? When you open your mouth and you communicate your faith and do what has already been put in you through Christ Jesus. That's when it's gonna change. It's not enough for us just to possess the key. You have to put the key in the ignition and you have to turn it. You have to. And when you turn the key in the ignition, suddenly the potential you possess in Jesus Christ is supernaturally ignited, supernaturally activated, supernaturally energized, and supernaturally released in you. Listen, I could have a black GMC truck, fill it up with gas, have plenty of horsepower, park it into my driveway, go into my driveway, park it in my garage. You can come over to my house. I say, hey man, come out to my garage. Not that we do that a lot. Come out to my garage. I'm gonna show you my truck. You come out to my garage, and I show you my black truck. And you say, that's a sweet truck right there. That's a very sweet truck. Is it run well? I don't know. Well, that's a sweet truck, man. Has it got a good engine in it? Got some horsepower in it? Yeah, I got 3.0 liter six. It's a mini diesel. Oh, it'll get up and go, man. It'll get on the interstate. Woo! Really? It get up there? Well, I don't know. I mean, they say it will. I ain't went up in that interstate yet. I ain't been up there. So what do you do in your truck? Nothing. You just park out here. You bought that truck, spent that kind of money, and you park in your garage. Yeah, sweet too. Got a ceramic coat too. Great. All vehicles need a ceramic coat to get parked in the garage. Nobody does that. Nobody does it. But why do we do that? We get born again and saved. The power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus comes and lives inside of us. We are made new. We get in the word. We get in worship. We come to church. We give and we do this and we serve and we know our spiritual gifts and we're full. Our gas is full. We got horsepower because of the Holy Spirit in us. But we sit in church and we never do anything outside the church to impact the kingdom. Never. We don't go make a difference. But we're just happy coming, sitting in our same pew and seat and saying our hi to our friend. What's up? What's up? Good to see you. Nice to see you this morning. You talk to the same people for 86 years. Go talk to somebody else. Well, I got to see my friends. No, you need to go see the mission field. What I'm saying is, church, we hold the power in us. We can turn the key and release all that is in Christ Jesus in us. We can push the button and do the same, or we can just park it in the garage and look at it. Ain't gonna change nothing, man. Not gonna change nothing. I'm gonna end with this, Luke chapter 17. Go there with me. Luke 17. Luke 17. We're all called to make a difference, each of us. Not for our glory, but for his. Look at Luke 17, verse 20. Luke 17, verse 20. Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observations. Verse 21. Nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. Can you put your peanut around that? The kingdom of God is in me and you. Everything in Christ Jesus is put in us. We encapsulate the kingdom of God. We are the earth suit for the kingdom of God as we walk on the earth. We are carrying the kingdom in us. And if we will go make a difference, then the people we make a difference with will encounter the kingdom of God. Why? Because the kingdom came and we can point to it? No. Because the kingdom of God is in us. Because Jesus put it in us. Everything we have in us has been put in us when we got born again. We have the kingdom of God living inside of us. We can take the kingdom wherever we go. So no matter where you are today, you work here, you work here, you go there, you go there. You're in this class with this kid or my son or daughter's on this team or whatever. Every bit of that is divinely set up by God. You know what it's set up for? To take the kingdom of God to those places. And you and I carry it in us. We got all the fuel we need in us We got all the horsepower we need in us. All we got to do, push the button, turn the key, and it will ignite everything that's in us. And we will open our mouths, and we will share. And we will share our faith. We will share with people. We will make a difference. We will give a word here. We will bless people. We will make a difference wherever we go. We can't keep sitting vehicles in our garage and showing them off to people that come over. And we can't keep sitting in church and asking people to come here. We got to take the church out there. The kingdom of God is in us. You say, wow, I never thought about the fact that the kingdom of God is in me. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is not over here and it's not over there. The kingdom of God is in you. In you. I'm going to ask you to stand, church. As we finish this morning, ministry time's pretty simple this morning. Got people in the back, ministry teams are in the back, but altar's wide open. We're called to know God. We're called to find freedom. We're called to discover our purpose. And we, as the church, are called to make a difference. You have everything you need in you. Everything in Christ Jesus. Right? Power of God is in you, and the kingdom of God resides inside of you. We as the church must take the kingdom out there. Everything changes when we go do and make a difference. So wherever God's laid on your heart, the person, the individual, the person at work, home, wherever, it won't change because you can't pray, God, if you'll just send somebody to my work or send somebody here. He's not sending nobody. You've been praying the same thing 6 years. He ain't sent nobody yet. You know why? Because you're there. You're there. And it's you who hold the kingdom of God in you. You do it. Let me pray for us. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that when you saved us, you put in us everything in Christ Jesus. We got everything we need. Potential, power, everything in us. The capability to be unleashed. God, we hold the kingdom in us. God, help the church to be released, to be what you've called us to be, God. May we as a church make a difference. God, we love you, we thank you. Holy Spirit, draw us now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you need to come or you need prayer, you do that.
Hey, thanks for joining us today here at the Church at Bushland Online. Hey, if you were inspired by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Just drop a message in the comments, or you could email us at info@thechurchatbushland.com. We'd love to hear what God's doing in your life. Also, man, if there's anything we could agree for in prayer with you guys, just text the word pray to 806-557-1800. We believe there's power in agreement with the Lord. And so if we could pray for you, just do that for us. And if you'd like to connect further with us through social media, just search The Church at Bushland. You can find out more things that are coming up here and get involved that way. And then if you'd like to plan a visit, we'd love to see you face-to-face. We have services here 9 a.m., 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. You can go to our website, thechurchatbushland.com, and plan that visit, and we look forward to meeting you that way. Finally, man, just thanks again for joining us. Pray your faith was encouraged, and we look forward to journeying with you in the days ahead. So have a blessed day.